If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
In the crisp, clear skies of a March evening in 1994, the quiet towns of Western Michigan became the stage for an extraordinary celestial display. Witnesses from all walks of life, including credible professionals and skeptics alike, reported seeing lights of inexplicable origin maneuvering with precision over the Great Lakes region. These were no ordinary lights. They were described as a part of a massive, triangular object that glided silently through the night, defying conventional aircraft capabilities and bewildering those who were watching from below. This spectacle prompted an influx of calls to local police and a subsequent investigation by the National Weather Service, which could only confirm the presence of unusual radar blips coinciding with eyewitness reports. Was this a glimpse of advanced undisclosed aerial technology or something not of this world? This case file joined the theorists as they navigate the enigma of that mysterious March night in the 1994 Michigan UFO encounter.
It's the Alien Theorist Theorizing! Case File 332?
Oh my god. What? You're joking now.
We didn't even talk about it before the show. What is it? What are we at?
327?
327. Oh,
327. Can we redo that?
Or are you just going to keep it? No, we keep it. What? Are we complete? 327. Welcome to Case File 327, the 1994 Michigan UFO flop phenomenon. Well, I don't know. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
I'm Andrew.
Yeah.
We're getting worse. That's awful. We're getting worse as we go on.
It was brutal.
We went
put the black flies down.
We peaked. And now we're getting worse again.
Yeah.
Have a water. Pal.
No water.
Trains on the black flies here.
Listen, nothing's been more humbling than making that stupid post and having everyone tell me that I look like alternate universe Big Show and then sending me a picture. I'm like, god damn, I fucking see it.
You know what's funny though, like when you look at the Big Show, you're like, yeah, like he's ugly but he's big.
Yeah,
he's
huge.
Got that going.
Yeah.
For
so you can't you can't say it to his face.
Yeah, yeah, you say it to me because I'm average size.
You're the medium show.
I'm average, right? Show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. I'd rather be compared to that than Hitler.
You're okay. The only one tossing that out.
Who got compared to Hitler?
Andrew what? Did. On the Facebook.
I did not. What?
Yes.
Braden's got, no.
No, that was a, no, I'm telling you, that was a Hitler reference.
Oh, wow.
He said,
how is that a...
Wait. You're 2 weeks away from referring to unhoused people as vermin. Which is what Hitler called the Jews.
Well, I missed something big. What happened?
Well, Andrew's hobo Hitler.
Sorry, so you're comparing the Jewish people to unhoused people?
I didn't. The person who attacked you.
Well, you did. How?
By saying
you're that. The one that put that together.
No.
Wait.
Yeah. Like, no.
Someone got mad at Andrew for calling the unhoused people vermin.
No, first of all, this person
he said he's 2 weeks away from calling doing that.
He says he can't listen anymore because he says he thinks I'm 2 weeks away from calling unhoused people vermin. So first of all. If you've ever listened to me talk, have I ever spoken about unhoused people?
No.
I maybe have spoken about junkies before, but are you calling every unhoused person? Are they addicted to drugs?
Yeah.
Is that what this person's insinuating?
That would be a generalization. That's no good.
Mm-hmm. That's on your mm-hmm. you're fucking
it. That's on you.
That has nothing to do with me.
What he's insinuating is the fact
that these people need to be in asylums.
Yeah. Gassed and turned into soap. That's what you've said a couple times.
That's never what I said.
Oh, you didn't.
You're the one throwing out Hitler references.
You didn't say round him up or anything. Did you?
No. Did I?
He one time he said, "You know what? He should. We need some sort of marks. We know who's unhoused and who's housed.
Some sort of number.
Some sort of separate.
I mean, I think the mark is them not having houses.
Yeah.
I don't think they need numbers, right?
So he's like, they gotta look.
Oh, so, right? so someone's not listening because they didn't like your take.
No, because they think the Andrew unhoused. is 2 weeks away from turning. Into Hitler, hobo Hitler.
So they'll be listening for two more weeks. Is what they're saying.
Yeah, it's only two. Oh, okay. So we're another week away.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll see where we go.
Next week, show him the papers.
Yeah, right? Like,
you got to show Andrew, where's your house registration?
You know what I think the problem is?
Show me your homeowner grant.
as we're ramping up our you know, towards an election, our American fans are getting very
upset.
Fucking left wing or right wing or we're Canadian.
Yeah, literally,
we don't know.
I'm trolling both sides.
Like it's all good. We don't fucking. We're not voting.
Yeah,
so it's okay. Don't get upset.
Yeah, it's okay.
What does the unhoused have to do with voting?
Well, they can't. Well
it's
listen.
More of a. We did a podcast. Me and Braden were kind of taking more of conservative takes. Dan was taking a liberal take.
Oh, this goes back. Dan's
getting
weeks.
Torched by the conservatives. The liberals are not. Because, like, that guy, too, he's like, all I'm going to say is listen to Dan. He's the only one of you guys that's on the right track.
We were obviously talking shit. We live in the most left country. like talking shit. I had a laugh.
Everyone, you just got to relax a little. Right?
Yeah.
Just fucking relax.
Yeah.
No matter who's who it is.
You love
it's two sides of the same bird, all right? It doesn't fucking matter.
I took it super high road, everything. Took it, it was nice, eloquent.
No matter what government gets in power next, they're going to continue to plunge us into massive debt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Crippling generations to come for their own personal gain.
I
made the best
joke. I said, from now on, if we're talking shit, Andrew's just got to say no hobo at the end. That's good, huh?
I like it.
That's a good one.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. I'm not doing it, though.
It's because you mean it. It's because you mean it.
No.
If you're not saying no hobo, you mean it.
I'm coming up with real solutions here, people. All right? Real solutions.
The final solution.
Real life problems. Okay?
You're using a lot of keywords here.
My favorite part
the final
is,
solution is what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, okay, so Braden, the best part about it is Braden's like, he makes the hobo Hitler joke. And then I like make this nice little write up to this guy. And then at the end of it, and I said, like, I apologize, you know, for airing my struggles.
That's the state of the world we live in. You pretty much can't say anything. Someone's going to be mad, and they're going to let you know about it.
I asked. I was like, "Can you refer to what I like? I'd love to know what I said. Maybe I can reevaluate."
Listen, boys. I've been a fan for since the beginning. You said one thing, and I fucking hate you now.
Yeah. Well,
you're
listen,
a son of a bitch.
Listen, I followed you through anything, but I will not be turning homeless people into soap. I just can't follow you any further.
Draw the line.
Yeah. Rounding up and gassing them in Costco's.
Any lamps in here. Okay, so I don't know what you're fucking upset with me about.
I had a good laugh. It was honestly made my weekend.
Maybe this will help him out. Is we're going back to the roots, talking a little UFO case instead.
Oh yeah, fuck aliens.
I'm sure someone's going to be mad about something in here, and I'm sure we're going to hear about it.
Probably,
but it doesn't matter. We're going to talk about it.
Just mean somebody's talking about 1994
Michigan UFO case.
Yeah, but take us back to the Michigan Triangle.
So this case is interesting because it only popped up, I guess, really got popular in the last couple of years. Since if people are interested, you can always check out the Unsolved Mysteries episode about it.
It's insane. It's like this whole account is insane. It's why it's if you've listened to our entire show from start to finish, this ties into so many other different case files we've done, people we've talked to, you know, and just the amount of accounts of this is absolutely mind boggling.
So March 8th, 1994, in western part of Michigan, a number of people started reporting that they were seeing strange lights near the areas of Holland. There's also reports that came in from Ottawa, Muskegon, and Allegan counties. And then you had the, at the end of this case, you could really, I think they reported that all total, there are probably about 300 witnesses that came forward with varying accounts about seeing some strange lights or strange happenings having to do with or related to this case. The event within the next couple of days would get a lot of media attention, like from the area, like the local newspapers, and then it would go national. And then it was partly is because we have a lot of good documentation of the 911 calls that were made that night, a number of 911 calls. I think it's something that was somewhere near like 50 calls that they got to one of the local, Ottawa County Dispatch.
You can listen to them. They're on YouTube. They're various sources. You can listen.
They've been remixed into EDM songs.
There's all sorts of ways to listen. It's like the most polite like calls of something weird happening you've ever heard. Like every single one of them. Like, hey, I just want to let you know, have you guys seen anything? And the response ever is like, no. They're like, well, you should go look. Just look out in the sky right now. It's crazy. They're like, all right. That all? Yeah. All right. Bye.
I like the really polite ones. It's like, hello. This is not an emergency. So if you need to hang up with me, I understand. However, is there any military aircraft in the region? We'll have to check, I guess. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, all the calls having to do with this, and I it's really funny because I have a lot of family from Michigan. My dad's from Michigan, and watching like that episode of Unsolved Mysteries and like hearing the phone calls and watching some of the older newscasts of the events like being accounted, I'm like, oh yeah, those people are very Midwest Michigan. Like there's a weird like accent you can hear with them. Like it's really polite, and, like really nice and genial. Yeah, and
almost,
like,
almost.
Yeah, these guys, these people are Michigan. One of the earliest accounts that we got, or one of the witness accounts, is from a man named Lee Lamberts, who apparently was a sports writer and editor for the Holland Sentinel in 1994, and he was one of the last people to leave a basketball game around the time that these lights started going. So he said that he witnessed what he described as a string of lights, and then which was also accompanied by a sound that he said he described it like. If you're, this is a quote by him, it's like, if you're out by the airport and you're in the path of a plane coming in, this low hum as the plane is descending and decelerating, right? But it's something that, like, even though you're like, okay, must have been a plane or something like that, but it's like he said that these lights, like, he estimated they were probably just like 100 feet up in the air, maybe. And these things were flashing like Christmas lights. Like it's not a plane, like obviously not like a red and green, but he was saying that it's something that he like could recognize right away, that he's quoted as saying that when he saw it, it's like, that's not supposed to be up there, whatever that is.
It's kind of like a universal, like when you hear the varying accounts of this, it's like right away there people like identify this as like something out of the ordinary, like spectacular. They're seeing something very strange here in the sky that they've never seen before.
That's something they can't explain.
Yeah. It's like,
doesn't make any sense. It's interesting. This is Holland, Michigan too. This is the same place that our friend Stephen Kubacki went missing.
Interesting.
Like, this is Michigan Triangle country, boys.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Spooky shit's going down here.
I mean, that fucking lake they're all above might be, what is that, the Great Lake that he hiked out on?
Buddy, that's the Hellmouth.
Is it?
Oh, shit. Right.
I think it is.
And it's like, so they just opened the gates to hell.
Damn. Lamberts would return to the news, his newspaper's newsroom that night. And then he would try to share his, he said he tried to like kind of share his account and kind of, you know, check in with his buddies. I mean, he's a reporter. So you're kind of being like, okay, you know,
you're reporting.
No,
listen,
no, he's fucking Brock Tamlin or whatever. Bazinga!
And he's trying to share it with his colleagues. And he's saying that nobody was really buying it. Like, nobody,
yeah, they're
really
like, hey, stick to sports. All right.
But the, you know, in the following days, like, news coverage would start to ramp up over this case. And then you would have a lot more people calling in, a lot more witnesses, like putting their, you know, putting their accounts to paper. And
which
then,
is that, which is so comical, I find, because this guy was like, hey, everyone, like, I saw this. Everyone's like, fuck you. <You're> like, suck it, buddy. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but maybe this is a boy that cried wolf situation. Maybe he's fucking talked about something like this in the past. And everybody's like, all right, buddy.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, fucking bet, pal.
So as like, as this starts to gain traction, there's like other investigative reporters doing this. And he's like, well, hey, no one cares.
I saw
here.
First.
I
saw first.
I'll reach out. And he's like, hey, I witnessed this too. So this competing paper like writes a story, and his paper's like, what the fuck is this bullshit? The fuck is this? Yeah.
The person that he reached out to at the competitor was an investigative reporter named Mike Walsh. And then Walsh
isn't that the right wing guy that everyone hates?
No, that's the other guy.
Is that the same name? Is that his name? Walsh.
Walsh. Mike Walsh. I mean, Walsh is a popular name. It's a lot of Walshes.
Is it Matt Walsh?
Matt Walsh.
Matt That's Walsh. Yeah, yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
hates.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the guy who goes a woman. What is a woman?
Yeah, that's the guy.
This goes to university campuses and starts beef all students.
He's the only clip I remember from him is he's like. He was on Joe Rogan. He was like, there's millions of kids right now transitioning. Joe Rogan's like, millions? He goes, really? Is that true? And then Jamie's like, yeah, it's only like, whatever, 10,000. He goes, and Joe Rogan goes, well, millions does sound better.
So yeah, Mike Walsh was an investigative reporter with the Muskegon Chronicle at the time. And he is one of the people who would eventually publish like one of the papers for a lot of the details, a lot of the accounts that he had gotten. So, like most of his time, Mike Walsh at the Muskegon County, in the Muskegon County paper is like, he would spend most of his days like covering court cases. Like, this wasn't exactly in his wheelhouse. Apparently like his manager kind of came up to him and told him they had received like a number of calls from, you know, residents in the area that were talking about UFOs. Like they were seeing these strange lights, a lot of people, you know, a couple of days, and nobody could identify what they were. So yeah, he kind of like, foisted it onto
all right,
onto
court Walsh. Reporter Mike Walsh, this is your last chance because you could not write anything more boring than what you've been doing. So here you go.
and Walsh recalls in his like personal recounting of the story is like he wasn't even interested. Like I imagine like most kind of reporters of who don't normally cover this kind of thing,
there's such a stigma. There's such a stigma attached, especially in like this time, if you think like the 90s, of like, oh UFO, someone saw UFO,
little green man,
like, ooh, like there's such a like that kind of stigma that I imagine this kind of case was like a little bit of a fucking like shitty assignment for him. And then you start digging into it, you're like, oh, this is kind of crazy, actually.
That's way too
holy fuck. You're like, what happened? Everyone's seen this thing?
And I mean, it's fortunate for us because Walsh would go on to kind of reach out to a number of dispatch centers at the time to kind of get, you know, confirm accounts and reports of these lights that had been appearing at the night. And then he said he eventually talked to the director of the Ottawa County Dispatch Center, who said that they had actually received a number of calls that they felt were sincere. Like people were calling in and not just, you know, not just something.
Can you imagine getting 300 fucking prank calls? Like this guy.
Fuck. Could you imagine getting 300 prank calls and you treat them all like prank calls? You're like, okay, again?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, okay.
It's, like, it's like that Simpsons.
We're going to put
like,
our best guys on it.
It's like that Simpsons. Like, we got an officer down. Yeah, okay. Like, just like, so Walsh would end up driving to Ottawa County to see what he could find out additionally to this case, and then he would file a Freedom of Information Act request, and that was where we would get, luckily he actually got a like cassette tape of the 911 recordings for that night or the night before.
And now, again, listen, they're readily available for you to listen to. The time varies between 18 and 26 minutes, I'd say, on most of the videos. Go and give it a listen. It is an interesting listen. Like you can.
I wonder if that was like, here's like, I wonder if this is just like a sign of the times, honestly, because like I think about it and I'm like, yes, okay, who the fuck else are you going to call? I'm not sure, but like, you know, like 911. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Lights. Wild.
Cool.
Cool. Right on. Anyway,
that's a weird thing too. Cause I was like why are you? I don't think I would. 911? I would never call. Like if right now, there was some fucking red and blue flashing lights moving in triangle shapes, I wouldn't be like, call the police.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I wonder if that's just what it, like because yeah, nobody weird. Would it's do such that. A weird.
I don't think anybody has the phone number to like their local airport or anything. So you know, it's like yeah, you call the police to kind of be like, hey, there's something weird going on out here.
That's such a weird inquiry.
You three would have called. Like, would you like who? If you guys saw something, would you fucking like? Obviously, you have the ability of recording it. Right?
Now, but I like, mean, now we have like flight, you know, you have like flight tracker and you've got you like a whole imagine, bunch of other resources.
Honest to God, right now, if I called 911 and I said, oh, hey there, you know, just this isn't really an emergency. Just wondering, you got any planes up there? You got any planes? No. And they're like, up where? You're like, in the sky up here. They'd be like, what's your address, sir? Because you're under arrest.
You're going to be certified. The best part, too, is like if you played recordings from 911 calls now, 75% of the recording would be on hold.
Yeah.
Like literally, that's you. Have you called 911? You sit on hold now for like 5 minutes.
911, the fuck? 911, can you hold? I'm bleeding. Can you hold, please? Yeah.
Oh, please.
Sir, calm down.
The first thing
sir,
I would do
you're
if
yelling
I see,
at me.
Yeah, and I don't appreciate it.
The first thing I would do if I seen those lights in the sky, I wouldn't call 911. I'd grab my wildly illegal laser pointer and I'd just start shining just to see.
Yeah. As the plane goes down.
Yeah. 911. As a plane crash.
Yeah. Zell's been blinding pilots all over BC. Every lady sees.
If they don't go down, they're probably a UFO. They're probably alien. Yeah. They're operating outside of this reality.
If they don't evade my laser, they're human.
So you had a number of descriptions of the phenomenon that night picked up from the 911 calls. And like, yeah, we have like those calls. It's like, it's a really long recording. Like there are a number of them and you can go ahead and listen through them. But you had descriptions like they were like four or five lights. They were all flashing right in a row. People are saying that it was more like they were flying in a V formation. And there were four lights that were blinking back and forth. And so, like, with all of these calls coming in and these corroborating reports of these lights that seem relatively similar, the Holland police actually dispatched an officer to one of the homes of the persons who reported the Graves.
He's like, all right.
The Graves
He's like,
family.
All right, fine, I'll go.
Officer Jeff Velthaus was dispatched to the Gray residence, which is on the east side of Holland, the city of Michigan, and who had witnessed these strange lights. And luckily for us, the dispatcher actually, like when they got a number of these calls, like they took the time to actually triangulate the number of reports coming in. And then he actually decided to call the National Weather Service field office in Muskegon County, and then to see if there was, I mean, that was who they saw because they're like, well, you guys got radar, right? So can you guys check there's something up there?
And like Officer Jeff Velthaus, he's the officer, like he's interviewed on the Unsolved Mysteries episode. And he, I mean, I don't think this guy's had an ounce of fun in his entire life. Like, just by the interview, he's all business all the time. And even he's like, I don't know what it was. He's just like so straight faced and so mundane. He's just like, and I got out of my car and I was talking to them. And then there it was, lights. And I couldn't explain them. And I don't believe in any of this hoo-ha, but I can't explain it.
But there was lights.
He's like, I can't explain what I saw. And they're like, anything else? He's like, no, that's it. I can't explain what I saw. I was like, okay.
That adds nothing but credibility to this.
To me, yeah. For me. Me too. Me too. Like that's the God's honest truth. Hold on. Like just the biggest straight-laced guy that's just like, I don't believe in this. I don't know what I saw that night.
Gives me fucking Zamora vibes.
Oh yeah,
Zamora.
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Like that's those guys that just like they seem so genuine. Very the just, guys that just you know like want to write books and make movies and take people on fucking desert experiences. I kind of lose that credibility
with NDAs.
Yeah,
about what you see.
So one of my favorite things in that fucking Unsolved Mysteries is when they ask Jeff, like, so what do you think it was? And he goes, unidentified flying object.
Boom, nailed it.
And I was like, that's it.
There you go. I mean, exactly.
Elaborate. What is it? Like, what do you think it is? Like, elaborate a little more. It's unidentified. And it was flying.
Boom, it's an object.
And it was in some sort of object. And they're like, all right. Thank you.
You can't tell me he's wrong.
Thank you. No, he's not. But I was like, I knew when they asked the question of him, I was like, they wanted any answer other than it's a UFO. That's exactly. Yeah. Got it, Jeff. A+, buddy.
Besides the Graves home that he was dispatched to, one of the other witnesses that they interviewed, especially for the Unsolved Mysteries episode, was Cindy Pravda. I thought it was funny because
she the old lady that was like, outside the birth of my children, this was the best night of my life.
It might have been her. Cindy, she was, I thought it was funny because like when we were looking into this case, like I was reading the articles and then she's like, oh yeah, I called the police station. I called 911 and I'm a pacer. And then, you know, I got on the phone and I was like, what, a pacer? I don't pace.
Yeah.
And I
had to plays for the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
It's a fucking big deal.
That's where my head went too. But then I had to like look it up and it's like, oh no, she's a pacer in the sense that she walks back and like forth paces? When you're on the phone, like, you know, which I had to look, I was like, oh yeah, I do that too. Like I do that too when I'm on the phone. Walk around. But I thought it was funny because I was like, what, a pacer? What? Like, I was like, a pace car?
No, she's the person that sprints in front of everybody else in the fucking track, like the Olympics.
Right, yeah. Person. Exactly. Yeah. But she gets out there when there's a, you know, a crash on the track. When she was actually interviewed, like she said that she was on the phone, like watching these lights and describing them to the account, like describing them to the 911 station, and being like, she's like, the more I look at it, I'm seeing four lights, and they look like, she kind of said that they were a size of like the full moon. And she was like 100% sure that this wasn't helicopters. It was nothing that she recognized like from daily life that she had seen before. These are definitely things like in a phenomenon that she had never seen and not familiar with. She kind of described these circular, bright white lights. She said they had like well-defined edges, and then they aligned just above the tree line, like outside of her house. And that she watched these lights, she said, for like 30 minutes, you know, with about like a kind of she kind of split it into two separate kind of events within that 30 minutes, where she said like there were like three of them kind of vanished, disappeared after the first 15 minutes. And then there was like three just kind of lingering around for another 15 minutes before those ones disappeared. And then this is just something that she couldn't explain. And then she couldn't really reason out, be like, I don't know what I'm seeing. I've never seen anything like this before. And getting on the phone. And it's just, her 911 call, I think she's like, yeah, you could hear my kids in the background, like looking at these things. So it's not just her, like everybody in her family.
And then she said, time out.
Then she said, time for a beer break.
And your best Powell Bear impressions go.
Undertaker!
Undertaker!
There you go.
It is Sunday at SummerSlam.
So, Cindy Pravda would go on to describe like what she had been seeing, like these lights that hung around her house for about 30 minutes and then just vanished in like two sets, like three and then 15 minutes later, the other three just kind of just whoop, gone.
What I remember, one of the things she said was that she's seen them all together. And the first one, just like blink of an eye, is just gone, like shoots away, like so unbelievably fast. And that was like alarming to her. Because obviously it's from a standstill to going that fast is pretty unique, I'd say.
And we do have an estimate on this pizza, at least what we would get, luckily, because as we mentioned before, the dispatcher at the Ottawa County police station would get in touch with a member or one of the guys working at the National Weather Service field office in Muskegon County, and that person was named Jack Bouchon.
Bouchon.
Well, it's not like it's not like French. It's just like
it's French.
Yeah. Is it French?
It all starts. Yes. Every Bouchon starts in France.
But it's not Bouchon, it's Bouchon. It's
Bouchon. Bouchon.
Yeah.
It's Bouchon. There's a G at the end.
Bouchon.
Bouchon.
Dan, that's just the American coming out in you.
Yeah. Sure.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be inclusive, Dan. You're supposed to be the inclusive one on the podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like, how you supposed to be.
Quit slaying in his name.
Yeah, come on.
Mm. Right? Say it right.
Right? Be pro-immigration. Celebrate other cultures.
Yeah.
Okay?
I don't even know if this guy's legal. You know he's voting though. Probably a fucking write-in ballot.
Text in ballot.
Probably already says Joe Biden. How are they gonna fix that? This case file without Jack is pretty lackluster because he adds so much like meat to this based on his expertise, his experience, and like just his account of what happened. Like it adds so much to this case. And I would recommend everyone going and checking out interviews with him, talking about it because he, for a long time, did not talk about it because of the stigma, around this stuff.
Dude, like left town because of it.
He literally got bullied in the movie. He describes talking about this a little bit and then everyone just bullied him ruthlessly till he had to leave.
So on that night of March 8th, 1994, Jack Bouchon was 29 years old at the time, and he was a meteorologist at the National Weather Field Station, Muskegon County Airport, and he was the person who was in charge. I mean, he was like newly appointed to this job, and I think he talked about in his interviews, like he's like. I always wanted to be a meteorologist. It was just kind of something that he did. It's like a passion of his. And he always wanted, you know, he was always interested in weather and kind of those kinds of areas of expertise. So when he became, you know, got this job, he was, you know, understandably excited to hold this job. But on this night, something extremely strange would happen. And it's not exactly something that is in the meteorologist handbook of answering phones and taking, you know, to fielding a call about strange.
Isn't that how every phenomenon, like UFO movie starts though? Like that one guy sitting in that like weird fucking computer tech kind of room.
He's like, yeah, let me check. Something starts blinking like
beep, 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 beep. And then, the nerdy guy starts freaking out, grabs the phone.
What was the new one with Leo DiCaprio, the up or whatever? Don't look up. Wasn't the guy watching porn or something when he noticed something first? He's the only guy in the lab. He's obviously given his ID to sign up for Pornhub, as Dan has told us what happened in the States now. We've got a few other people message in say that it's not just Virginia.
It's a number of states. I said that. It's a number of states.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Under the free.
Well, whoever fucking wants to take that off in their platform, They got my vote.
That's who we're voting
that's
for.
That's who you guys are not voting for because you are Canadian.
You saw our vote, Dan.
Yeah.
Dan, I have a mail-in. I stole a mail-in ballot. Okay. I'm just going to mail it in.
Fancy. Yeah. Dan, I don't know if you know this, but the Liberals have been sending Canadians mail-in ballots.
Oh.
Through the USPS. We're sending them in Canada Post.
Oh.
Justin Trudeau is personally signing all of our names.
Make it after seven weeks after the election.
Yeah, it's going to overturn. It's going to be Trump, and then they're going to be like, whoa, we just got all these 7 week late ballots.
I'll postmark
for Canada, Joe Kamala. But,
yeah. All these are coming from North Mexico. It makes no sense.
But yeah, they contacted Jack Bouchon and you know his weather station because they knew that he had radar and they wanted to go ahead and check and you know these are the people you want to check. I mean, this is 1994, so I mean, even those like the stations and stuff, like I think they would kind of know who to call, like in case of like UFO stuff. I mean, even if you're not, you know, if you're not interested in UFOs, I think that they already kind of know people. Like, you know, you want to reach out to people who. These people, like you want to reach out to the airports, you want to check the radar. This would be your flight tracker, and probably the best person to kind of confirm if there is anything actually out there. So, Bouchon like vividly remembers at this time because this would be like a defining moment in his life. I mean, this is something that doesn't happen every day. So, you know, when he's just, like, he's clearly used to getting
calls about like, is there a tornado? And he'll be like, let me check. No.
And he remembers like it was calm, clear, cold conditions, you know, no real like overcast clouds or anything like that. So it was like if you were gonna see something, like
how was the traffic to see it?
Well, he didn't have traffic. The 905 was fucking packed.
So he thought that, you know, when they called, he was pretty sure that this was just gonna be like a confirmation, you know, of this just being like good visibility at the station, clear skies. Nothing really going on. But when the Ottawa County dispatcher kind of asked him to check the radar to see if anything out of place was showing up over southern Ottawa County, you know, Jack remembers putting their, well, at the time they had the WSR-74C weather radar into manual mode and then kind of zeroing in on the location that they had kind of that they had given him, like to I guess the southeast of his station. And this would put Bouchon in a position where he was like,
well, first off, he was like, they were like, yeah, we're getting reports of UFOs and stuff. He's like, okay. All right. Like he was like, thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah. It's like, you know, almost probably like 10 o'clock, like 10 PM. You're like, just like, okay, like, you know, got to get up, you know, it probably like, he's the newbie guy who's on like night shift. And it's just like, it's probably just like, oh man, really? Like I gotta go check this. And he gets up there and, you know, he puts it on there. And then he, when he gets the scans back and like a few seconds later, he said that he actually got some strange returns lighting up on his screen. And then he would go ahead and tell this to the dispatcher. When he zeroed in on these objects or this phenomenon that was going on, he remembers that he was pretty sure that there was some sort of object.
The analogy he used that was kind of like I found really interesting. He's like this technology it's not like what people think where you just fucking beep, oh there it is, like beep, there it is. He goes, it's a lot like looking in your room if the lights were off with a flashlight and then seeing a fly, and you might be able to track the fly with the flashlight for a second and then the fly goes like a different direction that you weren't anticipating, and then you're back to square one looking for the fly.
Like, now, like, is that because these things are moving at such a like high speed and they're kind of moving in bizarre patterns, or is that everything? Like, it's just super hard to follow shit on radar.
I think because these things, their movement, I think that's what, because I think if it was like a plane, you'd be like, oh, there it is. And if he lost it, you'd be like, it's either going to be here or there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, plane's going to go in a line. It's probably going to be here or there. And then you just kind of like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the thing in manual mode. So he's probably like, he's moving it, you know, because the radar goes around in circles, the one that he's pretty much using. So it's like a flashlight, you have to shine it in a direction. And then if it changes directions, you have to like look for it again within that narrow band of like where the radar is like sending out its signal. So, but when he watched these things, like he just started making estimations like off the top of his head of like watching these things and watching them actually like change altitude and position quite rapidly. One estimation that he gave that these things kind of like at least one of them he saw zip at least like 20 miles over Lake Michigan in 1 second, which is insane. Like it's just he's like there's nothing that could do that, and this is what he said made him difficult to track, that these things were moving at such extraordinary speeds from what he could detect with the radar, and he just, you know, trying to catch them as fast as he could. And he said that these things he was managed to track them from Southwest Michigan out over Lake Michigan, so moving towards the west, and then that like they had somewhat that he said that like they kind of looked like they're in some sort of geometric pattern, like formation, or some loose.
And by listening to him, it sounds like at first he was just like he was seeing these objects and be like, oh, this is insane. I'm seeing something really weird. But then as he started to recognize the pattern, he was kind of almost like being like, okay, I'm starting to see how they're moving together to like continually following them. So they were moving in some sort of like at least rhythmic or geometric pattern that he was able to somewhat track and keep an eye on these things. I found that kind of fascinating that like he was able to like, I just quickly identify this.
And one of the things that Bushong would say later that really struck him as kind of unusual or something like just a strange, whether it's a coincidence or what it was, he said that these objects seem to spend most of their time that he would track them on radar over Lake Michigan, but in an area that at the time was the only kind of section of the, or like a, like only section of the Lake Michigan that wasn't covered completely in ice. Cause this is like March and it's still like late winter and they were, or what is considered late winter back then, not now.
that's still early summer.
Yeah. And it was like all the rest of Lake Michigan at the time would have been covered like with a sheet of ice. But this now, one
do,
spot,
like, do we know if that was like recently melted, like, or is this, have they known for a while that spot didn't have ice?
It's just out in the very middle. Yeah.
It's out in the very middle. So it doesn't, it's like, you know, you might get ice on the edge and stuff, but not out in the middle. It doesn't freeze over. You wouldn't get ice there normally.
No, not normally.
So it's not like the propulsion, no. You know,
it was a large, it's a large, it's
not like they're coming from the fucking lake.
No,
blasted up through.
Maybe.
Maybe there's a reason there's no ice there.
Or they went into the lake.
That's the fucking entrance to the Hellmouth. demons are coming from.
The other thing that he said that kind of intrigued me is that when he was trying, like, first thing, this guy, like, as a radar tech, he's like, listen, you know, I know what people think. This isn't swamp gas. And he like, talks about, like, how he went through various things to try like discredit. Like a
mental checklist of things. Like
being of
like,
things yeah, right
he's
away.
New, though. How credible is he? How does he, how right? much is he on, he's brand new.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's doing his thing. He's doing the exact same thing I would do. I'd be like, is it this? And you're testing. You're obviously having this experience. Yeah.
You are an expert.
Yeah.
If someone told, if I was taught how to use radar, this is what I would have done. But he, like, so he like, he's like, okay, well, it's not swamp gas. It's not. And he would change the sensitivity of the, like of the spectrum to be like, okay, no, it is objects in the sky. Like I know it, they're shiny. I know they're metal based on the like the radar bounce back, the echo I'm getting. Then the other fascinating thing I found is like, he said that like when these things would move, they would jump in like a 20 mile jump, like one from static to like, 20 mile jump, and he estimated like the speeds in some ways 72,000 miles per hour.
That's interesting because it's almost like, so 72,000 miles per hour, it's fucking insane.
Yeah. Like from standstill.
Like, are we sure this thing's not malfunctioning? It seems like it's choppy, right?
I would say that. I would be like, yeah, sure. Okay. But you have all these eyewitness accounts of people describing these things.
Oh, I'm not saying like there's something bizarre in the sky for sure. We'll give you that. But like that speed, that's fucking unheard of.
Well, are they traveling that far or are they just like blinking to the next location?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like we mean like Nightcrawler?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly like Nightcrawler. Okay.
But so he said is when one would move, the others would move to maintain this like triangular formation, almost like they were communicating. And then he said not only would this move like in the sky together, but also it would flip like, and the triangle would be like altitude wise. So one would be at like 5,000, one might be at 50,000, and one might be, you know, at 20,000. But there was always like, they were just like kind of rotating. And he said like they would go from like sea, like lake level to, you know, 50,000 feet instantaneously.
And this is the same time, like, so this, he's catching this on radar. This is the same time that 911's getting flooded with fucking calls. Yes. Buses, right? This is simultaneously.
Yeah. Or just like after, and they're probably still receiving calls, but this is like,
cause he was on the phone with them still. Like, well, yeah, like
when, I remember he's on the phone with the Ottawa County, like the Ottawa County dispatch. So it's like, this is probably, they got enough phone calls already to be like, hey, like, can you check out what's up there? Cause I got a bunch of calls of people seeing something. Like,
and from what I understand, like these lights could be seen for about 5 hours.
Yeah.
Right? Like this substantial amount of time. My question is, when do you scramble the fucking jets?
I don't think I have any.
That's
jets.
A good question. That's no, a good
question. No, this is fucking how many years removed from the Cold War?
Like 3 years? Four years.
Like, at what point are we like, we got 300 foot, like, did we scramble jets?
Well, and
no, because Project Blue Book already told us that we didn't have to do anything about them.
And the
they're not a threat.
The other interesting thing is like, as he said, because there was always like three and stuff, but like on radar, like later, he kind of described that he was like, there was dozens of these things and they seemingly all congregated like in the center of Lake Michigan. Like they just kept popping up and more and more and more. And they seemed to all congregate in this section. Right.
To the Hellmouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This was the, whether that's something that was relevant, is like this was the only space of like open water that wasn't covered by ice at the time. As news coverage actually in the next few days would start to take off, Bushong was like instructed by his superiors like not to talk about it, which is it's like because I mean we're still dealing with the stigma of UFOs at the time.
And to be honest, like every like kind of. I imagine that's some sort of government position or anything. It's like they all have like media relations. They're like, no, if you're an employee, you don't, it goes through protocol, our media people. You don't say anything. You didn't see nothing. It goes through our media people. No, you did nothing.
Yeah. You speak to the liaison, the mouthpiece, and they say what's going on and that's it. Like you don't have to, don't comment on anything. No comment.
He told his superiors, he told his like the next like worker coming in to relieve him in the shifts and like no one really gave a shit. They started hanging up like paper plate saucers like on his desk all the time and like just bullying the dude. This was like the 90s was probably the golden age of bullying your buddies at work or even just people you didn't like. Like there was no canceling. No one's getting in trouble. Everyone, like even the boss is like, that's a good one. all right, spaceman.
And Bushong, you know, at the time, since we're still dealing with that stigma, like understandably, he still felt that his career, because of this could be in jeopardy. So in order to kind of distance himself from the event, he ended up pretty much like taking a job or requesting a transfer, to Atlanta. So he ended up moving to Atlanta and like doing that. I think he still did well. I think his career is still like he got a bunch of promotions and he still did well.
He won awards. Really he won some fucking weatherman awards.
To hide the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? He kept saying he's gonna release the information. So, okay.
Yeah. So what happens when you keep your mouth shut at government jobs? They promote you.
So even to the point like this got such enough like traction. To even, they had to call in the big guns. They had to call in the MUFON investigators for this one. And it required
the big dog, the local civilian mutual UFO volunteer.
It required the attention of the, I guess at the time she was the state director of the MUFON in that area. And that was Virginia Tilley. who was like, by day, she was an English and reading teacher. And then by night, she was a MUFON investigator. And then she would end up taking one of the, probably, she said that when she went around and, you know, collected these reports, you know, eyewitness accounts, she said there was one that is probably like the, it's probably the most interesting. Although it's in like an anonymous report that she got from a couple who was camping near, Benton Harbor, which is pretty much like Benton Harbor area, which is like right on the lake. Like they were camping like on the beach. And then she said that, the wife reported that sometime just after midnight, she had woken up and like, looked outside of their tent or like where their campground, like where they were sleeping, like out over the lake. And she said that she reported seeing like this huge tower of water.
She described it as like a 1,000-foot waterfall illuminated from the top.
Going like as far as she could, as far as she could like tell, like it, that's what it looked like. Like it looked like water was going all the way up. And then it was kind of, it was illuminated. Like she's saying it was illuminated from like the back and the top of just this giant spiraling waterfall, like going up. And then like this put them in such a way, like it woke up the husband, like, and then he saw it too. And then it just freaked him out so much that they packed up and left. Like they had to leave. They're just like, nah. End times, baby. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Well, and like going back, like, you know, later, you know, Jack Bouchon kind of corroborates this story because he's like, listen, where I was picking up radars is right in that area. So if there was people camping, like they would have seen something in that area and at that height. And they did, yeah. And it's so interesting to have all these accounts and like them corroborated by radar and other people. And, you know, it's truly fascinating when you hear this. It makes you think like, why were they here? What were they doing? You know, obviously, why Michigan? Well, it's the largest fresh water, the Great Lakes, right?
1994, yeah. Lions were a playoff team. Yeah. So Barry Sanders, I would travel across galaxy.
I would travel transcend dimensions to watch a winning team.
They're like, hey, listen,
or Barry Sanders. Like,
they're like, listen, if you want to, there's only a few times in history you're going to be able to watch the Lions play in the playoffs.
I mean, they won. The last time they won, like, was 92, 93, 94. I think they still made it to the playoffs, just didn't win.
But it's the largest freshwater body on Earth. So it's like, if these things are interested in freshwater, for whatever reason, scientific purposes, whatever, it would make sense to go to the Great Lakes. That's the easiest pickup.
How are we going to discount that these things aren't coming from the fucking lake?
Yeah,
you just said how big that fucking thing
is. Yeah, true.
Honestly, like that's the one thing that we have in our own plan that we have. What's more likely?
If you wanted to
think about it.
If the aliens wanted to study polluted freshwater, they go to the Great Lakes. Especially Lake Ontario. Fucking place is a cesspool. You can't swim in it. They always have E. coli warnings fucking every 3 days. Like, get out of the water.
We got that here. You're getting the swimmer's itch for sure.
We've had an E. coli warning all year.
Oh, yeah. But that's from fucking geese.
That's from poop.
Yeah, geese poop.
It's poop again.
It's always the fucking geese.
Those goddamn Albertans pooping in the lake.
Shitting in the lake.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, this has been such a magical red plate free summer.
There's no tourists here this year.
It's been insane. It's actually been like bearable here.
No tourists. They got rid of all the accommodation, so no one can come. So it was genius. Airbnbs. It was a genius move by the government.
And everybody was worried that the place was going to be lit on fire again.
No one's coming.
So nobody came.
No Airbnb. So Kelowna is actually just locals only this summer? What a fucking nice place to be. Or you
stay in a hotel.
It's been great. $600 a night.
It's been fucking awesome. The beaches are great. Traffic's not that bad. Like it's...
Can't complain.
No, it's been fantastic.
Where were we?
The
aliens were coming to study the freshwater because it's a big freshwater.
They're coming from the freshwater.
Or they're coming from the
freshwater. There's a tunnel system
from the center of the earth.
Yes.
Even like Andrew mentioned earlier, like if you thought Bashan, like even the National Weather Service radar was malfunctioning at the time, I think there's still corroborating reports from, I think we got one from like Missy Broderick, who was a logistics manager at News Channel 3, who had actually like tried to confirm these signings after they got a number of phone calls. She said they got like something like 50 phone calls about these UFOs. And she said that she phoned the control tower at the Kalamazoo Battle Creek International Airport to see if they had anything on radar. And then she said that she remembers the air traffic controller confirming that they had a couple of like abnormal returns on the radar, and them telling her like, we don't know what they are, but we can't really say anything. Like, it's just, we don't know what they are.
That's weird.
We're just seeing something, you know? So it's like,
no, that's the no comment.
Yeah. The no comment. We're just like, yeah, we got something weird out there, but we don't know what it is. Like, yeah, it's not much you got. I imagine there's nothing that they could really do at that point. They're just like, yeah, we got something weird out there. Radar guy is just like, yep, something out there. That's all I can tell you. But yeah, it's I think we talked before, it's like, you know, this is Michigan Triangle area. Michigan is actually like top 10 UFOs in the states, like with the most UFO sightings. It is number 10 on that list, but it is top 10.
Just squeaked in.
Still counts. Still top 10.
You know, and you know, I tried to look up, yeah, I'm trying, you know, logically, I was trying to go through and look at like, okay, you know, I know over large bodies of water, you can have, you know, optical illusions, things can happen like that, you know, that's not things. And even the things I was looking at is like, what was it? Like the Fata Morgana one where you get like the floating boats, stuff like that. But even anything like that, it's like, you don't get lights. Like you don't get lights way up in the air.
It's not swamp gas.
Not swamp gas. Michigan, yeah, the Great Lake is not the Great Swamp. It isn't. It's a lake, a large freshwater lake. And I'm just like, I don't know. You're just like, this is something. All of the explanations that they put forward for this, none of them really stand up to kind of like hardcore criticism. Like critical thinking. Like you're like, I don't know what this is. Like, you could say one of the explanations, like, you know, the popular one is that it was flares. You know,
you got to remember some of the accounts that you listen to, they talk about like seeing multiple lights and then like one will take off, two will take off, three will take off. And there's one light left and they're looking at this one light and they're like, wow, what is this? And then that one light will just split into five more lights, just like boom, right. Into five. And then they all take off in different directions. And it's like, what kind of fucking flares are that?
No, I mean, like we're obviously dealing with some type of fucking advanced fucking technology that the government has that nobody wants to talk about. Like, this is obviously them preparing for Comic-Con 2024 to make Galactus in the sky. Cause these are drones.
Yeah.
Like this, but honestly, when you think about it, like, these sound like drones. They sound exactly like drones.
Yeah. I mean, if they were,
except how fast they were. And
yeah. I don't buy the speed.
The only other problem, because I thought drone too, when like at the first, I'm like, maybe this was early tests of military drones. But it would explain
the lack of response.
Yes. 100%. The only issue that I have with it is, the size that they're pinging on the radar, right? They're as big as big objects. And then he sees them splitting and it's like, is it a cluster of drones flying together and then splitting all like to form like a bigger object on radar and then splitting to cause confusion? Maybe. Like,
well, I mean, that would be a great tactic to fuck with other people's radar, right? Like pretend like something giant's coming and then fucking, you know, basically like a decoy.
Okay, interesting. Like, so maybe you have like, say like cluster drones that are making up an object. And these drones break away small enough that they don't get detected by radar. And then 20 miles away, the cluster comes back together. Like these ones all just form back up. And at this simultaneously, the cluster separates to give an appearance that these things are moving 20 miles at a time on radar. But yeah, I feel like the, you know, there's too much intricacy to that. That people would be like, there's so many objects. And it's like, they, you know, the descriptions that we have are like, these things are pretty big, right? In the sky, and they split, and they do, it's not like they shrink in size. They split, they just kind of split to the same size object. That's kind of the weird thing, because I
heard there was like a one large, like cylinder shaped object
on radar. He estimates that it was a large metallic spherical object based on the radar.
Estimate that.
based on how
reflection it, on radar
on the echo, yeah, of, and his expertise on it.
He's a meteorological expert.
Yeah, the guy's been working for a whole week.
Yeah, but he must have got some training, right? Like, he didn't just throw a guy in there.
I don't know, buddy. This is the 90s. How much fucking 90s, training did our parents get to do what they were doing? Zero.
No, yeah, it's
went to fucking college for 6 minutes.
That's true. He's like, look at it. If it pings you this, you're good.
Here's your diploma. Now go buy your $100,000 fucking mansion. Yeah. Enjoy life. And then you can tell all of us how fucking hard it was for you.
Yeah, pull up the bootstraps. How you did it
with your own fucking two hands.
Yeah. Uphill both ways.
College pajamas.
This is a... This case is just supremely interesting because it is one of the more recent, one of the most recent, like, mass UFO sightings that truly goes, like, unexplained. Like, there's no real good explanation or an explanation that covers all of the phenomena that people
or just makes an explanation that makes any sense to what you're, like, what's been seen. Like, yeah. you can't add up.
Like, and, like, this is 94. There was other, like, this is the same year that the aerial school sightings as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like I would be interested to see if it's a similar time of the year as well too. Could be the same UFOs because that was like how many sightings was that?
Ooh.
Probably close to the same scale.
Yeah. I don't remember. So, yeah. I'd have to relook into it.
The it's just something that's like, and it's like probably one of those events that's like, I mean, it gets recalled. Like I said, it's come into like the popular. The popular view now that the Unsolved Mysteries has covered this specific event. Cause I was like, I don't specifically remember this. Like when I was young, like hearing about these, this case specifically, but it's one of those ones that it's like, this has a good solid kind of evidence where you've got abnormal radar returns from two separate independent locations. And then you've got, they even said that like they got, there were some reports or there were some eyewitness accounts from at least like two pilots like that were flying at the time,
right.
they were saying something that they were seeing lights out there. I mean, they didn't want to give their names or anything. They didn't want to go public because of course
the stigma, you'll get grounded. Crazy. You can't fly.
Yeah. You're nuts. You're seeing lights out there. You're seeing crazy stuff. And like those ones. So it's like, yeah, it's one of those really interesting ones where it's like, yeah, like enough people saw something really strange out there. And like you have like the physical evidence of those, you have the eyewitness accounts, plus you have the physical evidence of, you know, the radar returns of something going on out there. And it's like, why were they out there? So yeah, fresh water has always been a kind of thing with UFO reports or UFO sightings. It's like, were they here for fresh water? Is it something like they need for fuel, for cooling? There's always those theories that are thrown around that they need it for some sort of chemical reaction that drives their propulsion systems.
Could you imagine that? Like that. they run off fresh water, like hydrogen. Like that's what they're fucking.
Yeah,
they just go planet to planet on hydrogen, and they just need the fresh water.
Yeah.
Salt-free.
It's just something like that. It's just like, yeah, it's just an easy place to get it. They're just like, poof, like, you know, that's what explain why they weren't over the ocean to fresh water.
But. Right. And then it's like they're congregating there because their various ships are refueling and other ones are just kind of scouting the area, shooting off. Right. And they stay in these triangle formations. Like it kind of seemed like they would just rotate. Like that's how they move. Like one shoots. Like they're always in a triangle formation of contact. Which is very unique. It made me, I kind of was thinking, I was like, you know, maybe for like research purposes, getting fresh water, a lot of like, but why not the sea? Like there's more, like, is it because
who says they're not going to the sea too undetected, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Cause right? Yeah, that's very true. Cause it's there's salt water. You go in the middle of the ocean. It's like, who's going to fucking see you there creating 6,000 foot, water tornadoes.
It's one of the truly unexplained ones. One of those mass UFO sightings. You're like, this was bizarre. Like, the news made it into multiple newspapers. Like, the stories got printed like for like weeks about these.
The lack of response is the big thing that I like. Hang on, because like I don't know, you got the Battle of LA where we're just straight blasting the skies. Yeah. you see a weather balloon, we got a nuke it.
Yeah.
Get rid like, of it.
Hit it with every mortar shell we got.
Yeah,
load it up.
And it's like with this, you're just like, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Because I feel like they're in on it. I feel like it's their technology.
Yeah, it's.
I mean,
it is kind of, whether it's, I guess, concerning or like it is noticeable that there is no official, like, there's no military response. There's no.
Yeah. It's weird.
You don't get any of the, like, the other the accompanying, like, black helicopters of. Reports, like, that people we, yeah, that we know. Something. Like, we don't get any of that with this case. Like, we got with the, what was it? Was it the Berkshires? Where they got, like, helicopters or people saying, you know, they were some sort of military craft out there. Because even that would kind of go towards selling, like, the flare explanation to be like, oh, you know, they were doing stuff over the Great Lakes and there was jets out there. Like, oh, okay, well, they were dropping flares. But this one, nothing. Like, there's no other aircraft out there flying out that they were reported. So, you know. Well,
and like the other thing, like, again, the radar operator, fucking Bouchon, like, you know, he in his professional capacity canceled, you know, the swamp gas, various things. He originally thought he was like, okay, airplanes, these are some sort of airplanes, until they started to hover and then just change altitude. And, you know, at one point he did maybe think helicopter until the rate at which they changed altitude and the extreme of the altitude change. Mm-hmm. He was like, well, this can't be any kind of helicopter. This doesn't make any sense with anything I've ever known or seen. And like, even just listening to his interview with Unsolved Mysteries, he's like, this would be, like, in my opinion, hundreds of years in the future of technology. Like, we still, and this episode is like 2021, I think. And he's like, we still don't have anything that can meet these capabilities of what I saw that night. And it's just like, if you think about that account in 1994, and then you think about Kevin Day, who we had on the show talking about, who was also a radar operator and what he saw, I just like, I kind of revisited the interview with him and I was just like, man, there was a lot of parallels to what Kevin Day saw, like out on the water, and what Jack Bouchon saw, like, of his description. They were very similar. And I was like, are we looking at the same kind of unidentified flying object? Like, is this the same craft from 94 that Kevin Day then sees in whatever, 2012 or whenever he saw his on radar?
Was it 2012 or 2007, not that long after.
Yeah.
No, like, not like,
yeah, are these like the same, the same type of craft time, or it's something? Nothing, yeah. Like, that they're out there, you know, same, yeah, same type of craft, perhaps, like, that they're in over bodies of water. Like,
so the one thing I remember Kevin Day saying is, like, if you remember, when Kevin Day was talking to us, he talked about, like, he said these things were almost predicting the movements of the fighter, and they were appearing at the fighter's, like, next coordinate zones that we were telling them to go to. These objects would just move in a rapid, like, insane speed and just be there, as if almost like they were intelligent and they knew and they were predicting. And then you listen into Bouchon's interview and he's like, it got to a point where as I was scanning radar, it was almost like these things were moving to the scan of the radar, like they could see the radar itself and they were intelligent and moving with it, in a little snippet of the interview. And like, that struck me as very, like, a very interesting parallel of these things, like, either having some sort of technology where they can gauge these systems that we have, these, and they can visually see, they know what we're looking at and they're moving within those parameters intelligently, like almost to be seen. I thought that was just very interesting. And anyone listening to this, if you haven't listened to the Kevin Day one, go back and listen, and then listen to Jack Bouchon. There's some eerie similarities that I thought were quite interesting.
So, but yeah, it's still very much like, I think it's like, it's been 30 something years since that case.
That's, but isn't that gross? Isn't that disgusting?
30 years.
Didn't I say this 30 years?
Yeah, my brother turned 30 this year.
Oh my God. What has, like, happened?
And mentioned before.
That's how I know time's not real, because that was yesterday.
And, you know, now that Bouchon has come out and kind of said this, and I know he's gone on to a couple of interviews, and he said, like, he's, because the, you know, at the moment, or when he at least did the interviews, you know, the government seemed to be pursuing the UAP phenomenon with some Sincerity, you know, formerly the UAP Task Force, and Arrow, and all of those. And he said that he kind of feels vindicated at this point of what he saw. Kind of used to always kind of pen this off and never really talk about it. But now he's like, now that it's become something
that... What about that one guy that says he knows what it is? Which, then he retired and didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Waiting for deathbed.
Yeah. That's classic. I like that. That's my style. I know what it is. They tell me. Nope. You don't know?
You're going to have to wait.
I know.
He's going to wait. He's going to tell you the truth on his deathbed. And everyone's just going to say, he's just an old man. He's just
that guy's a nonsense. That guy's a big brother. That's what he is. That's some big brother tactics. You don't know? I know. You'll learn one day. I'm not telling you. Tell yourself. You tell me. Sure. You think you know?
You don't know.
You don't know.
Then you ridicule them for their answer. You're like, oh, yeah, stupid thing I've heard in my life, you idiot.
Yeah, stupid dummy. No, what is it?
Baby poopy head.
Yeah, fucking idiot.
Listen to this fucking baby poopy head.
Yeah.
Just be ashamed of yourself.
He just big brothered the world.
But yeah, if people are interested, the Unsolved Mysteries is cool to check out. There's a lot of media coverage on it now for the last couple of years. And, the 911 call is readily available on YouTube. You can look them up and listen to them if you want, you know, creepy listening to at the end of the night or something. Or you want the EDM mix that Andrew discovered for some reason. Somebody mixed those into a fucking electric dance music. So,
what are you seeing? No, it's actually a wild case, so I recommend everyone checking it out, doing a little deep dive, checking out those audios and some of the interviews with the people, and then just like I said, if you've listened to the show, go back and revisit the Kevin Day interview. Listen to Kevin Day. I found some very interesting parallels because maybe these things are continually visiting us around the globe, and we just don't know it.
Everyone calls
if you're curious, the band is called Apopgema Berserk Eclipse.
What the fuck?
Wow.
What? The song is called Welcome to Earth.
Are there like hyphens?
Welcome to Earth.
Right now. Hyphens and colons, or is it just, what is it? Say it again.
I might be saying it wrong, but okay, Denton, tell me how to say this. It's APOPTYGMA.
Is it an acronym?
Apopgema?
Is that a fucking neck?
Apopgema Berserk Eclipse.
Okie dokie.
And the YouTube channel is owned by Winston Churchill.
Oh, okay. What a guy.
So there you go.
Fight them on the beaches.
We're just going to do that.
All right. Thanks, Winston Churchill.
You're the man. 100 years later.
Fuck yeah.
Anyways, I keep forgetting because it's been a crazy summer of inconsistent recording. But I want to give this week's Theorite of the Week to the winner of the Running Challenge 2024 from 2 months ago.
Was it me with 2 kilometers?
Brayden with a whopping 2K.
Nice.
Over 4 runs, I believe.
I wasn't even competing at random.
We did a last minute running challenge just because if we didn't do it in June or in May, we would not have done it. Because no one's going to run in the fucking summer or the winter.
Best time to run is in the summer.
Summer, winter.
How? Way too hot.
No, it's the best.
Wonderful. Yeah, if you can get out in the morning.
Yeah, I'm fucking 3 times a week.
Well, there you go. Well, Andrew didn't win, so he wasn't running enough.
Let's see. I didn't even answer my kilometers.
We'll start with third place. We'll go reverse. So in third place, we had Liz Young running 217 kilometers.
Whoa. Let's go. In a month?
Wow. In a month.
That's bananas. That's good. Definitely would not have placed.
Second place, we had Justin Swingler with 230 kilometers.
Goddamn.
Let's go.
And in first place, we had Neil Collins running a whopping 303.
303?
That's good.
303K. In a month.
Wow. Jeez, and special shout out to Zeitgeist for not participating this year to give some people a chance. Yeah, give some other people
a chance. That was one thing I couldn't check because my run account deleted what Zeitgeist got last year.
Oh, insane. He was like 500.
Over 300? 500?
It was insane, dude. It was insane. That's crazy. Like it was, I was like, I had a check. Like, I was like, is this, I remember the first year he did, I was like, this guy is fucking lying. And it's like he's running all day, every day. And then
didn't
he
run
was.
This year. So yeah. The three-time champ didn't run this year. So we got
fucking probably has like fucking tendonitis in both of his fucking knees. Like
that 500K ruined him for life. He'll probably toast.
He's never been the same. But he won a small podcast competition, and that is priceless, right? That's gonna
last forever. Nobody can take that away from anybody.
No one can.
Nobody.
You tell everybody.
Hell yeah! You tell everyone you wear that fucking jersey everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. We got a trophy 1 year too.
And the honorable mention, we didn't do this last time, but the longest single run being an ultra marathon of 50.5K.
Oh my God!
Who did that?
Justin Swingler in the second place in total kilometers, but first place in.
Oh my single God, run. So that's fucking insane.
Pretty insane. We'll try and get it back to April next year with a little more notice because just didn't work out this year. But as before, the top three going to get a little prize. Make sure to reach out on Instagram. We'll dig up those old designs and change the date. Send you a new one. Anyways, I had to get that out because I keep forgetting every week. It's been now 8 weeks in a row of not doing that. So you guys are legends. That's a lot of work. Your boy, the only one to really run. I got... What did I get? 40.2.
Hey, nice. That's
not
right.
Bad.
Not bad.
I really petered out in the last 10 days. I don't think I ran maybe one time. So
I petered out on day two. I was like, I can't.
One run.
What month was that?
June.
May. All May. Are you going to load up your total K? Strava?
Oh, I don't have Strava. I've got the fucking Under Armour one.
Whatever you have. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Can you look monthly?
Anyways, Andrew got, if you're running 5K three times a week, 60K.
What about Patreon supporters? We got new Patreon supporters?
We got a couple new beauties this week supporting your boys, supporting your favorite show, patreon.com. Search for Alien Theorists or go to alientheorists.com. Hit the support tab. This week we got two new beauties, Claude and Jacob Harris, supporting the show. Love you. Appreciate it.
We really appreciate it. And listen, we got so much cool stuff coming on Patreon. We've had a bunch of nerds coming. We've had confidentials. You got daddies and baddies on there. Andrew's been talking to me. He pitched me this new show he wants to do. I don't know what he's... He only has a name for it so far. It's going to be called... 10-part series called My Struggle. We're going to start it soon. But that's going to be Patreon exclusive right here.
My Struggle with the Final Solution.
I mean, people don't hear it.
It's a very happy ending.
Yeah.
Tune in.
And as we always say at the end of these things, you better move that prediction up a week. As we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
See you in After Hours.